Whatever I do for another, I do for myself. And the flip side of that is whatever I do to another, I also do to myself. So the idea of walking 100 miles to maybe feed a hungry child or to house someone who is houseless or to heal the environment, these sort of things speak to me loud and clear.
This is a podcast called Walk, Talk, Listen. An attempt to connect people and make this world a bit better by sharing opinions and experiences based on the belief that everyone's perspective is true, albeit partial. My name is Maurice Bloem, and I would like to welcome you to yet another episode of Walk, Talk, Listen. Okay, good day, everybody. This is yet another episode of the podcast Walk, Talk, Listen. And as always, I've really terrific guest, a good friend. And let me ask her to introduce herself. Alicia, can you please, tell a little bit about yourself to the audience?
Thank you, Maurice. My name is Alicia Fall, and I am the founder and vision holder of a nonprofit called Her Many Voices Foundation. It's our mission to ignite the artivists in each and every one of us in order to move our passions to purpose for the betterment of women, children, and Mother Earth. We will be celebrating 12 years of this work.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful journey. I actually was a musician prior to this. I spent most of my adult career in the music industry, and I found myself doing a whole lot of benefit concerts. And I thought, well, why not marry the artistic side with the humanitarian world? And Her Many Voices was birthed out of that. And little by little, I have left the music. I still work with artists, but I've left the music as far as performing is concerned. And I've stuck to doing this nonprofit work. And extremely grateful for the opportunities that I get every day to do this work.
Oh, and you don't miss it, performing and making music or?
So far I have not missed the performance. And I've had people who regularly contact me saying, hey, listen, would you, can you? And nothing has inspired me just yet. Not to say that I won't wake up tomorrow and go, oh, you know what? I got to get back out there, or I have to write that next song or whatever. It seems like that energy, that creativity has been channeled in a different way. And, if I miss it again at some point, it's always available to me.
And Alicia, can you please explain, what type of projects are your foundation supporting and working on?
Well, we start out, we spend a lot of time working for women and children. Mm-hmm. That's when we first started the organization. And we founded a school in Haiti about 10 years ago now, 9-10 years ago. And we also work with a number of women's businesses and organizations, and we provide trainings for them. Those trainings can be anywhere from, we want to start a tourism business and what are the steps we need to do to, we want to learn how to grow a certain kind of plant and include it in our agricultural programs. And we do also have an intergenerational agricultural program in Haiti. In the States, we work with predominantly indigenous peoples. We have an indigenous gardening series that we do here in Denver, Colorado. We've also done some work with some of the members of the Askwesasne Nation in upstate New York. And right now, our primary focus has been in the hemp industry, utilizing the hemp as an alternative for housing and for food. You know, it has a tremendous amount of potential to reverse a lot of the climate change issues that we are experiencing today. We took it out of our biodiversity maybe about 80 some years ago, and it did a lot of damage to communities as well as the environment. And so now it's coming back into the fold, and we have an opportunity to work with people to utilize it in the best way for our communities.
And yeah, can you explain a little bit more in terms of, you know, the housing? Because I food, I can, you know, kind of picture and imagine, right. But how does it work with the housing?
So when you use industrialized hemp, and there is a difference, people are familiar with cannabis, or they might be familiar with marijuana, but hemp is it's a variety of cannabis without the THC, that's psychotropic that you experience if you're smoking pot. And with it, you break down the fibers of the plant, and you can utilize that to build structures. You make what is called hempcrete, or it's also known as hemp lime. And you take the inside, the herd of that plant, of the stalk, and you break it down to what looks like animal bedding. As a matter of fact, it can be used for animal bedding. And you mix that with limestone, with a lime aggregate, and with water. And you make blocks or walls or bricks or whatever it is that you're looking for. And it's got, there are so many values to this plant and the uses of it, and especially for housing. You know, you don't have to worry about mold. It's pest resistant. It's fire resistant, almost proof on all of those. And it is so much better for our environment, and to be in an environment that is built by this material. You're not dealing with the chemicals of the everyday construction uses that we typically have used up until this point. And you can also use it for insulation and paint and a whole variety of other things. When you break down the fiber, it can go from anything from the really dense fiber, which you use for materials like clothing, all the way down to a powder that you can do to replace plastics.
And is it a plant that you came across because you started working with the indigenous population in the US, or did you find it in Haiti? So how did you come across it?
No. So and I have to back up, and I have to apologize. I should have said this from the get-go. I am Eastern Band Cherokee and Taino. Eastern Band Cherokee and actually Dutch from my mother's side, and Cuban Taino Spanish on my father's side. So I am an indigenous woman myself. But this is something, you know, when marijuana started coming back into the fold and people were looking to legalize it, I spend a good chunk of my time. Most of my life is in Colorado at this point. I go back and forth between Colorado and New York. But we were getting ready to make that vote on whether we're going to legalize marijuana or not. And although I have an appreciation for the medicinal of that plant, it's not my wheelhouse, you know. But what I found is with hemp, the industrial end of the plant, there were so many potentials on for working with the communities that we're in while taking care of Mother Earth, that it really sparked an interest in me. And this was maybe, this is pretty recent. This was maybe about 6 years ago. And I started diving in, and I was introduced to a gentleman who was building the first hempcrete structure in Denver, Colorado, the first permitted one. And as soon as I met Eric McKee, I had an opportunity to get my hands dirty and help build that structure. And it felt like this plant was speaking to me. And I listened very carefully. And so I started doing these hemp tours And then getting some education on it and a lot of workshops, that sort of thing. And then I got to that point of people inviting me to speak on this plant and what you can do for humanity with it.
Interesting. And I would like to invite the listeners also to check out your website. And we will make sure that it is, part of the notes of this podcast. But maybe you can also mention it, Alicia, to the listeners where they should go to find out more.
You can reach us at hermanyvoices.org. That's hermanyvoices.org.
Great. I would like to bring you to my, 100-mile walk that I've done for 9 years. The question that I ask all my guests is, if you would be asked to walk 100 miles for a cause, for which cause would you walk 100 miles?
Maurice, when we met years ago and you explained what it was that you were doing, I was so impressed that this is something that you taking these steps, it means more than literally taking steps, It's got so much more to it. And I've thought about it over time. What would I walk for? And it is basically what I do today. I would walk for women. I would walk for children. I would walk to save mother. And, you can look at this as this altruistic kind of thing, but it's not. It's a very selfish move, I find. This humanitarian work for me is a very selfish path. And I say that because my survival, my health and well-being is bound up in yours and everyone else's, and in our environment. So when I looked at what you were doing, mm-hmm. I thought these are the reasons why we should go to extremes. We have a saying within Her Many Voices, whatever I do for another, I do for myself. And the flip side of that is whatever I do to another, I also do to myself. So the idea of walking 100 miles to maybe feed a hungry child or to house someone who is houseless or to heal the environment. These sort of things speak to me loud and clear. So I would say there are a variety of reasons why I would make that trek, recognizing that our survival is based in it.
Thank you for sharing that. Related with this, but maybe slightly different. What drives you in life?
The same, the absolute same. Hmm. I am someone who I feel I would be lost if I was not working with others, for others, giving service. And truly being of service, I believe, is the whole purpose behind us. We are all connected. And if I do something for you, I'm actually doing it for myself. Every time I tend to a garden, every flower, every plant, every tree, it makes a difference in my life. And so these are the things that speak so clearly to me. Hmm. If we are not doing service, if we're not giving service, if we are not being of service, I don't really see the point in our lives.
Whenever, you and I talk, I often, it's almost, very quickly The conversations that we have are, from my point of view at least, very spiritual in terms of, you know, what life is about and a lot of depth in it. The similar thing happens when actually I do my walks, when I walk with my guests. You know, we talk about religion, spirituality, and very quickly we talk about the younger generation. And then some of my guests have, you know, said to me, you know, I think the younger generation is different than the older generation and how they perceive it, how they experience religion and spirituality. And others say, no, it's very similar. You know, maybe the institutionalization of it is different. So what is your point of view and your experience around the younger generation and religion and spirituality?
The younger generation is what feeds me and gives me hope daily. And quite often our conversations are, it's not about religion, but spirituality. It is not about what is written in books or texts. It's about kindness and these acts of caring for one another and for our Mother Earth. You know, so I look at the next generation and I think this is the direction we need to be going in. You know, life is not conceptual, it's experiential. And I find that the younger generation are very much actionary individuals, as opposed to sitting back and being more philosophical about it, or writing another book about it. They feel it deeply. If there's an injustice, it is felt, and they are acting on correcting things for their generation and for future generations. I feel like our generation, I'm not sure, Maurice, if you're a part of the baby boomer generation, that might be a little bit before you, but I feel like we have done some things that we are not so proud of at this point, and we're recognizing the ramifications of our actions, and the young people are acknowledging those actions as well, and becoming activists in helping mitigate some of the issues that we have created, and how we behave with one another. You know, so I look at it more not so much as a religious, but more as a spiritual path for them. You know, and they bring me great joy, and I listen a whole lot more as I get older than I speak.
What are exactly the things that you worry about then at the moment?
I worry a great deal on how we have treated Mother Earth and in the direction that we are going at this point. You know, we have one home, we have one mother. And by the way, since we do have one mother, that makes us all siblings in my eyes. Hence the reason why I call her many voices that. The her makes reference to Mother Earth. The many voices are her children. So I have grave concerns about the direction we have taken ourselves. This planet is, we have wounded her in a great deal. And so my greatest concern is, what are we doing now to address those issues, where we can start healing, we can reverse some of these wounds. Some of these wounds we cannot reverse. We have eradicated species of plants and animals. So there are things that we cannot regain, but we can certainly mitigate the damage that we have done moving forward. We can clean our air, we can clean our waters, we can tend to the things that we need to tend to while taking care of each other. There is no reason in this world why anyone who chooses to have a home does not have a home. Why are there so many houseless people? There are some who that is a life that they choose. We get to honor that. But the majority of the people who are out there That is not something they have asked for. That's not something that they have chosen. There are so many places, so many people in this world, so many children who go hungry every day. Every day. And we waste food constantly, especially in this country. You know? So these are the things that I think about regularly. You know, there is never, I've been having this conversation lately about the term of being, of having enough, you know, and there are days where I feel like most days, what I do is not enough because there is so much need in this world, you know, but if we all just did our little part, what a beautiful world it would be. We would get to leave our children and grandchildren and on, something a whole lot more beautiful than what we have created right now. And isn't that the point? Leave something more beautiful because you have walked in that path as opposed to beating it down and beating it out, removing, taking, constantly consuming. I view humans as termite people. We are constantly consuming and never understanding that, you know, none can be savored if too much has been tasted. And we do this regularly. So these are the things that definitely keep me up at night, and they mm-hmm. also are the things that motivate me to do what needs to be done for our future.
Yeah, and you alluded to that, you know, the younger generation gives you hope, you know, despite those worries. Is there anything else that gives you hope? What do you, you know?
I wake and the sun rises. Mm-hmm. And I see beauty all around me. So those things give me hope as well. Yeah. Every time I hear a child's laughter, every time, you know, I experience nature, I think of the insignificance and the power that we have, that we are. You know, that gives me hope.
I would like to go back to the beginning of the conversation where you shared that, you know, you were an artist or, you know, and you made music, right? If I would ask you to mention a song that embodies what you are about, which song that would be? And I know you sent me, I think, that song that you would like to share. Can you explain a little bit, you know, why did you send that particular song? What does that mean for you?
Yes, this song is called Many Blessings, and it's one that I wrote. And I wrote it in response to, and some time had passed since 9/11, you know, and I wrote it in response to the destruction of that moment in time and the ripple effect that it would have moving forward. And recognizing in the midst of all of that and all of the hate that might be in the world, there is also that other side of the beauty and the love that is present. And in all of it, you know, we are a part of it all, the ugly as well as the beautiful. So that would be Many Blessings.
Okay, let us listen to your song, Alicia. Let us share that with our audience.
I sit by this window, sunlight pouring in, and I am reminded by the warmth of my skin, the gifts I've been given, places I've been, the beautiful people in this world, how blessed my life is. The beautiful people in this world, how blessed my life is. Well, I've helped in life's creation, watch men and born, I've witnessed and played in our destruction in so many forms. Yet I can surely tell you that I have no regrets. I love this life that I've chosen, it's the best one. Watching over me, some I've held in my arms, some I've never seen. And I'm grateful for them, they've held me to my dreams, yeah. Well, I have angels watching over me. Sit by this window, sunlight pouring out, and I am reminded of the warmth of my skin, of the gifts I've been given, the places I've been, my friends and family, the beautiful people in this world. My life is the beautiful people in this world. How blessed my life is. The beautiful people in this world. How blessed my life is.
Wow. And is this also on, can people also listen to this on Spotify or where they can they find it if they would like to listen again to this song? Or should they listen to this podcast episode every time again?
I think you should listen to the podcast, yes. You know, I have removed my music, but but it is something that I will be putting back up.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had some requests to do that.
Okay, great. Yeah, what I would like to ask you is, and some people don't want to, you know, leave a message for the audience, you know, and so maybe that's not the correct way of framing it. Others of my guests have seen, you know, I would like to invite your audience to something. What would that be from your perspective? What would you like to share with the listeners of this podcast?
You know, each and every one of us has the potential of really truly making a difference in this world. You know, it does not necessarily mean that you have to be on some big stage and have a large audience. It doesn't mean that you have to walk 100 miles. It doesn't mean that you have to do some grand gesture in order to make a difference in this world. Engage with that next person you meet. Truly look someone in the eyes and ask them how they are and listen. Most of us just want that human connection. You know, do what you can, because we all can contribute in some way, shape, or form. And the same thing can be said walking through nature. Be gentle and mindful of the steps that you take. You know, you can look at that. If you are a religious person, look at that as your church. Spirit is there. You don't go screaming through the church. You don't graffiti it. You don't take things that do not belong to you. So walk in balance and honor and respect for all things, for all beings. Every single one of us can do that.
You know, I was taking that in. Before we started the recording, you and I talked about, you know, the pandemic and what it is doing to, you know, us and as species, but as individuals and human beings. And you mentioned, you used the word interconnectedness, you know, and I think I often mention this as well, because this is the result of what we have done to Mother Earth. And but at the same time, this is also an opportunity to realize that we are interconnected and that we have to work on this together. My question to you is, and that's my last one, is you know, how I hear what you're saying in terms of you know, we can all do our little parts. But I still feel that often we don't realize that we are all connected. We should be one. So how do you, in your work, through your foundation, how do you try to give out this message or to show by your actions that this is extremely important?
Good question, Maurice. It's in our everyday conversations when we present, when we go out to work for others, with them. We ask what is their need, their desire. So we do a lot of listening on how we can collaborate. And we talk about things like, you know, we tend to think that we are separate. We use them, that, you know, the us versus them sort of analogy. And we do that with all things. You know, we feel we are separate from the rock that is out there, that there is no life in that rock. There is plenty of life in that rock. Spend time with it. Listen. Sit with it. The same goes for the stream and the tree. You know, people laugh at people who are considered tree huggers. And yet science has even proven that there is this network. Trees are families, and they remember their offspring. There is this connection that we all have. We cannot deny it. We try to deny it. And every time we do, oh boy, do we hurt ourselves. Anytime we feel that we are disconnected from each other. You know, aside from the color of your skin, the size of your shape of your body, what is inside will always be. Spirit is everywhere, within all things, seen and unseen, solid and liquid in the ethers. We have spent generations disconnecting ourselves from what each and every one of our ancestors knew and operated from. We are all people of, we all come from tribes, every one of us. but we have over a period of time separated from that ancestral wisdom and knowledge, thinking that we know better. We need to go back to listening to what Mother has to say and honor that for ourselves and for our children, as well as this planet, our home.
Thank you so much, Lisha. I mean, what I realized when I started this podcast is that, you know, I gave myself one assignment, and that is to try to listen deeply to my guests. And then I realized, and I'm still realizing, I'm not very good at it. Actually, I'm slowly getting better. But you bring it even to another, you know, your request or your invitation is bringing it even to a higher level. My kind of answer to what you're saying is it does require work, from all of us. It doesn't come by itself. You need to work hard. I think to make this little world a little bit better. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, and a big hand for everything you do, and 12 years, right, this year or soon.
We will be celebrating 12 years. And also, in honor of this time, on April 22nd is Earth Day. Mm-hmm. And we are going to be having a very large online event in honor of Earth Day. Okay. It is Indigenous wisdom to modern challenges. That is our focus for the day. And it will be roughly about a 12-hour event. Wow. We're going to try to hit many different locations on the planet. Hopefully your listeners will join us on that.
Yeah, as well. I will make sure that if you have a link or where people can register, I will make that part of the podcast notes. And will there be music as part of your event as well?
There'll be music, there'll be dance, there'll be spoken word, there'll be education on hemp and humanity. It'll be a mixed bag of a day.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And as always, it was a great pleasure and for me, enormous learning experience again. So thank you so much, Lisha.
Thank you, Maurice. It was quite a pleasure and an honor. Thank you for inviting me today.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Walk, Talk, Listen. Please check us out on www.100mile.org or follow us on Facebook or Instagram.